Praise be Jesus and Mary. In today's Gospel, our Lord affirms the indissolubility of marriage in no uncertain terms. He is unambiguous, or as the Church Fathers like to say, his teaching is not obscure. There is no need, really, to comment on it. Our Lord responds to the Pharisees who ask about the indissolubility of marriage. He says, "From the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate." So, because this is a hard teaching to accept, one of the many hard teachings of our Lord, the disciples question him afterward. It says, in the house, the disciples again question Jesus about this, notwithstanding the clarity of his words. Then why do they question him again? Simply because it's a hard teaching to accept. And so our Lord does not mitigate what he just said to the Pharisees, but says in even stronger language, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." Now, I know there are people today who look at the moral teachings of the church, and in particular, the teaching of the church with regard to marriage and divorce. And they say, the teachings of the church are too hard. The teachings of the church are tough. And we say, no, the teachings of Jesus Christ are tough. And why is that? Why? Why does it have to be that way? And the reason is this: because love is tough. Love is difficult. And so the teachings of Jesus Christ, who is truth and who is love, are tough, are difficult. Remember the words of our Lord: "Whoever would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Unless the grain of wheat fall to the earth and die, it will not bear fruit. Whoever wants to be the greatest, let him be the least and the servant of all." These are all teachings about love, and they are difficult. Now, God has created each and every one of us to become perfect in love, which is another way of saying perfect in holiness, becoming saints. "You must therefore be perfect, even as my heavenly Father is perfect." That means we must be perfect in charity, be perfect in love. But to become perfect in love, we must travel the path of perfection of love. And this is difficult. How many people consider marriage within this plan of God, this plan of love that God has for us? It is not outside of his plan, but we must become saints. We must become perfect in love within marriage for those who embrace that state of life. That is your path to sanctity, path to holiness, path to the perfection of love. And it will be tough. Difficult, but not impossible. With God's grace, it is possible. So, for couples who are in difficulty, and that thought of separation comes through their mind, the first thing they need to do is examine themselves with regard to the efforts they are making to become saints, to become perfect in love. First and foremost, what is the first step to holiness, to sanctity? To avoid mortal sin, to eliminate mortal sin from one's life. That is the very first step, because that is the difference between the soul in God's grace and the soul who is not in God's grace. And if one or both spouses are not in God's grace, you are going to have a very difficult time. You are going to have problems in that marriage. So that is the first step. And I have to mention it, contraception, the observance of the commandments, those are the bare minimum underneath which there is death. And contraception, being a mortal sin and being so widespread among Christians today, is destroying marriages, causing difficulties and problems in marriages. The servant of God, Father John Hardin, used to tell a story about a priest friend of his that he knew who worked with the cases of marriage, okay, those couples who were seeking separation. And he said, "Do you know how many or what percentage of these couples who are seeking separation contracept?" And Father Hardin said, "No, how many? What percentage?" He said, 100%. 100%. And so, again, the first thing to examine for those couples in difficulty, where do we stand on our path towards sanctity? Have we taken that first step of eliminating mortal sin from our lives? And then we can begin to examine our life of prayer. Do we pray a little bit every day? Do we pray ever together as a couple? Now, prayer is one of the principal means by which we obtain God's grace, God's help. And so we need grace, we need help to become saints and to live a happy and holy marriage. Do we frequent the sacraments? Okay, go to confession frequently. Do we go to Mass? Perhaps even more than what's obligatory. Do we practice Christian mortification in our lives? Do we ever fast besides those days which are strictly obligatory? So these things should all be present if they are not already present. We have the great example of the marriage between St. Elizabeth of Hungary and Ludwig IV. Okay. Ludwig was not, or has not been canonized, but he was known as a saintly man. And their marriage is described as an unusually happy marriage. An unusually happy marriage. And why is that? Because they were both striving for sanctity, for holiness. St. Elizabeth actually being canonized, but Ludwig himself being known for holiness. And so again, I encourage all couples who are finding themselves in difficulty not to despair, not to throw in the towel, but persevere. Remember those vows that they made before God, until death do we part. Couples should often reflect on those vows that they made before God. You know, the religious, our friars, we too made vows before God. Vows of poverty, chastity, obedience, and for us, total consecration to Our Lady. Do you know how often we renew our vows? Every single day. Every single morning, we renew our vows. So as to remember that bond, okay, that which we have bound ourselves by to reinforce our will to persevere through difficulties and temptations. And so couples would do very well to do the same thing, if not every day, at least frequently, to renew their vows, meditate on those vows, beg God for the grace to be faithful to those vows. And so in this day and age when 50% more or less of couples are divorcing, we need to pray and we need to encourage everyone who finds themselves in difficulty to remind them the high call that they have to holiness, to sanctity within that state of marriage. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.